Heavenly Father, this would be our prayer this morning, as has been written in a form of a prayer, that not only did we praise you for blessing us and bringing together your family, but that moment by moment and week by week, you can lead us onto higher spiritual ground. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And we just praise you. We thank you for the good words that we've gotten from Brother Benny, for the fact that you were there, worked with the doctors, and you were there as they were working with him and to correct his problems. And we pray that you would strengthen him day by day. Thank you for this church, Father, and for the witness that it's had in this community and still does. And we just pray, Father, that your Spirit will be able to use each of us until Jesus comes again. Many have come this morning, Father, and maybe there's moments on their heart, unspoken pressures. We just pray, Father, that during this service, that the Holy Spirit would help, that those would be relieved and you would be glorified. And so we pray, Father, that as we offer this service to you, that it would be acceptable, that you can use it, and that it will bring honor and glory to you. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we use number 363, sing the first and last verse.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, giving allegiance, smile-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thine my atonement is give myself for Thee. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thine own. My life I give is for to live. O Christ, for Thee. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I hold no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee.
Gather around the Lord's table this morning and read from Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles were come to the table, and he said to them, I eagerly desire to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again until the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We're thankful for this cup and this loaf, and through taking them, remember thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through him we have hope of everlasting life. We We're thankful for this church. We have a place to worship. We pray that you be with Benny and Maxine this morning, that you'd strengthen their spirits and soon be back with us. We ask for forgiveness when we fail. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity we have together here today in the Lord's Day. Thank you now for the ones, the gift and the giver, and representing thy kingdom. Be with us throughout the exercise of service, guard and guide, and save us in the ends. Our prayer in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You want to take care of the sick people?
Not with
it. Is you going to do it?
Yeah. Go over the prayer list.
You know about it. I'll put it next Sunday or something.
Okay.
I don't know your routine.
Okay, that's okay. We'll go over the prayer list this morning. Does anyone know of any changes, anything has happened on the prayer list that we need to know about?
Okay. Papa's sister, Louise,
yeah,
is doing much better. She made it to eat actual real food.
So Louise has got the point she can swallow now.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's been on pureed food, I guess.
Yeah.
And now she's on, maybe we'll start her on solid food tomorrow.
Soon.
Yeah. That Papa, we don't know anything yet as far as whether he's got to have more surgery or not. So that's all I know now.
I think it was off. Go ahead.
I'll cover my mom. Glass tunnels on there. That's why I wasn't here last Sunday's Mother's Day. I went to service. She fell last Saturday afternoon. She broke five or six bones in her face with her eye. So I'm taking her plastic surgeon at UK Tuesday to see what they want to do about it. Some of them is crushed.
We'll keep her in her prayers for sure. Anybody else?
Go here.
Go ahead. Is Ron okay? What's wrong with Ron?
About Ron.
Ron had an infection. He was in the hospital, but they let him go, and he's got to have another test run. But he's at home.
Okay, well, good. Okay. Of course, we all were shocked with Benny's progress. That's actually not shocked. We knew that was going to happen.
We're trying to keep up with Papa. What can I say?
They're too tough birds.
I know.
Wayne's not here today. He's of course Wayne failed. Fanny, are you doing bud?
Yeah, he's okay. He's got a cold.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
Please? Yeah. Chandler is hanging in there. So we can probably take him off the prayer list. Chandler Link, he's doing pretty good right now. He's able to keep food down and everything. So he's getting ready to have a big 21st birthday Tuesday. And then I guess Jonathan, our son on here, his headaches, he's not having the headaches like he was, but he's still not able to drive or anything. So he's doing better. Patricia, John, I saw her one day this week, I forget which day, but she must be down to about 80 pounds now. So she's slowly but surely going down with the cancer. They can't put IVs in her or anything, so they chose not to do that. But, so that's what's going on with them.
Most of you probably know Ann Glass. She's not on the prayer list.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. I didn't see her.
She's at the top.
Oh, I see her. She's at the top.
But she's, we talked to Sharon the other day. She's hanging in there, but she's having a rough time of it, so we got to keep her in prayer. Anybody else? Richard, glad to see you this morning.
Amen.
Okay, as we continue, let's keep these folks in a prayer. Thank you.
Daniel,
yeah.
We need to sing happy birthday to Jerry.
For prayer in this morning, going to be using 87th, first and third verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. That's all I'm saying. Invitation hymn be number 378. At this time, of choir bring a special, and after that, Brother Wendell Foster can take over.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that has another verse to it that you can sing again. That is great. It's good to be with you today. I'm sorry for the occasion that has to put me here, but it's good to be here. And I'm sorry that Benny, but I understand that he had good surgery and he's up and walking and eating, and if that means he'll soon come home. But just to help you out a little bit, even though we've crossed paths somewhat when I was over at Zadyville helping them out, but Helen and I, sitting back here, first row, we grew up in Bracken County. That's a couple of counties up, one out of Pendleton. We grew up in Bracken County. However, I was born in Eastern Kentucky, way back in a little place called Wolf County, a little place called Tolliver. And if you're ever back in that area, watch for cemeteries, because every little one curve you turn, there's a Cox Cemetery. And so, but we moved, I had to move down to Bracken County. And Helen is from Lenoxburg in Bracken County, when her home church was Cemetery Chapel. And we had two ministries there. And then one of them, when I was in seminary, they let us, let me live there and commute to school every day. And then later, when I retired, was wanting to retire from the pulpit, they said, could you come up and help us a couple of Sundays? We're without a preacher. Yeah, fine, go up, yes. Stayed 7 years. So we had two ministries there. My hometown and home church is Powersville, up there, so you know maybe where that is. And Louis Detro, who got killed in a car wreck when he was president of St. Louis Bible College, but he baptized me when I was 16 years old. But Helen and I have four children, just to make you acquainted so that we can feel like we know each other. We have 11 grandchildren, and we have 15 great-grandchildren. We spend the winters with them in Florida, so we have to come up here to rest, you know, come back home. But we started our ministry Easter Sunday, that was April 10th, 1955, a little church in Mount Carmel in Fleming County. And they were willing to take us there. We were just married and so forth. And by the way, we were in our 65th year of marriage. And but that little church just took us in. They're doing fine. But we began our ministry there. And then one of our sons is first minister of First Christian Church in Fort Myers in Florida on the Gulf side. That's where we spend our winters. The other son works with International, New Mission Systems International. Now they call it just International. And they work with missionaries in 43 countries. And he goes over and builds buildings. And the last mission trip I was with him, we were in Kenya, Africa with the Maasai people, building them some schoolhouses and buildings and so forth. And they were just gracious people. They still live in cow dung huts and so forth. It's unbelievable. But they appreciate the mission that's going on. And by the way, they're in 43 countries. And last Sunday, or a few Sundays ago, I got word that if you put all their Sunday services together, they had 24,197 in church last Sunday, or Sunday, two Sundays ago. From all of that, from all this mission work. And last year, they baptized 18,200 people. So that's our second son, our oldest son, really, Bob. But Father's Day, now I mentioned this when Benny called me. At Father's Day, we've got to go back down to Florida, so we won't be able to be with you. The family's been planning a big gathering, which we can't get together with that many people much anymore. But they've been gathering since most of our family now lives in Florida. They want us to be down there, and so we'll be going back down for a week. And so I don't know who else, the elders, I can help them, talk with them, whoever you have to come in and fill the pulpit. But that's just to give you a little bit of who we are and so forth. And you all probably know we helped Sadieville out. We used to come over here with those Fifth Sunday singings and so forth. And, oh, I love this part of the country. It's just great because I grew up in the country. That's why we sometimes, as we did this morning, I told some of the men, we took the back roads to get here because I just love the farms and love the country and love to go through there. But we're honored to be here. We're honored for him to call. He'd been here 34 years. You're blessed. You're blessed. Not many people, not many preachers, not many preachers will stay that long with congregations. And I appreciate that with Benny, really. And 80, somebody told me he's 81. I had him late 70s. I'm 84, but I thought he was a lot younger than I. But anyway. And tomorrow, I got to go over to, I'm under the care of Cincinnati Eye Institute. I got to get shots in this eye tomorrow over by St. E. They come from Blue Ash over there. They have offices over there. And every 8 to 10 weeks, I got a shot in this eye for macular degeneration. And so I'll be there. And if it feels okay after the shot, which sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, I'm going to step on over and see him, because that's just next door. It's just right next door. But we'll see. This morning I want to share with you an Old Testament passage that we all are familiar with. We all could probably quote it. It's Psalms 23. And so if you have your Bibles, want to turn there, I want to read it, just put it back in our memory. But to share with you a few moments, it's written by David, and David is expressing some things that I think happened in his memory before he was ever king. And the Bible keeps saying that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, I love that phrase or statement that is describing David. But David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now notice David was a shepherd, as I told you before, when he was still a teenager, and his brothers had all gone off to war, and he was taking care of the sheep. And he knew what this about. Now, by the way, the book of Psalms is a Hebrew hymn book. They sang these in their service. Some of them still do, but they sang these. And in our hymn books, we put certain songs together. If they're praise, we put them usually together. If they are songs of sorrow, we put them together. If they're songs about God and worship, we put them together. But here, this Psalm 23 follows a Psalm of the heartfelt destruction, really heartbroken, of Psalms 22. But 23 is one that expresses David's feelings about being a shepherd, and he was written about, and I can picture David later. I don't know when he wrote this, but I can picture David just thinking about his responsibility as a shepherd, because a shepherd was important. Before we had fences like we do now in America, before we had fences, a shepherd, and still in Israel, and I've been there several times, Israel, a shepherd is vital. The sheep cannot function or live or be anything without a shepherd. And David began to think about this, how he was shepherd to the sheep. And when he thought about how he was shepherd to the sheep, then suddenly it hit him, wait a minute, God is my shepherd. He's looking after me. Just like I had to take care of the sheep, God is taking care of me. And I ask you this morning to think, is God your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? First of all, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." when he thought about how he was a shepherd to his sheep, then he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I picture David sending out, maybe watching the flock and thinking at times he had to find them food. He had to find them water. He had to find them safe shelter. And so then he thought, wait a minute. That's what God does for me. The sheep totally depended upon the shepherd. The sheep totally depended. They're one animal that cannot really thrive when especially in that day, without the shepherd taking care of it. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for rest or refreshment. Now, I've always thought sheep was great ever since a little kid. I can't remember my first vision of a sheep, but I can remember when I was 6 years old, we were living down on near Augusta on Route 8, and the old house where we lived is now belongs to the Historical Society. It's old, they say it's the oldest house in Kentucky. It's built out of limestone, but down the road, one of our neighbors was Henry Dietz, and he had sheep. And once in a while, we'd go down the road, and Dad would stop and let me out because he knew, for some reason, I don't know why, I become fascinated with sheep. And he would let me out, and Mr. Dietz would let me go around his sheep and pet them, even though he had them in fenced pieces. But Dad says, no, you can't have any sheep. They're one of the dumbest animals. And he said, they follow each other up and down the hills, and they do. They follow each other up and down, and they make a path. And pretty soon, that path becomes a gully of washing here in our part of the country. And Mr. Dietz, ever so often, Mr. Dietz said, yes, I have to go cut brush and put there so they'll walk somewhere else. And so the shepherd, and before we had fences, the shepherd had to take care of the sheep. And so they had to take him where they had to find ways of feeding them. I shall not want for leadership. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, a shepherd leads, he doesn't drive. A shepherd leads, he doesn't drive. Jesus leads us. Jesus leads us. And notice what he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you see the analogy he's making? Just as I was a shepherd to my sheep and I had to take care of them, now the Lord is my shepherd and he knows the way. I shall not want for restoration. David had his problems. David had his difficult times. And yet the Lord always restored him. And the Lord even said, David's a man after my own heart. And he restoreth me. He restoreth my soul. In the saddest hours of David's life, God didn't give up on him. And Paul says in Romans 8, chapter verse 25, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God will keep with us. And Paul goes on to say, tribulation can't do it. Distress can't do it. Persecution can't do it. None of these things will separate us from the love of Christ. And Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So as David thought about how his shepherd relationship to his sheep, all of a sudden he said, wait a minute. God is my shepherd, and he's doing this. He's leading me. I shall not want for guidance. If you haven't known, and if you haven't already discovered, I think you did a long time ago, the world is confusing. The world is confused. and we need guidance. And he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's our shepherd. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Christianity is not just a fold a lion, it's a path to walk in. And we need guidance. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know my voice. Remember that? Jesus said, I am the shepherd, and the sheep know my voice. Well, my trips to Israel, we were going down to the Dead Sea one afternoon. It was a beautiful day. We was on a tour bus. And I was sitting on the front seat with a guide, and I spotted, and I'd been looking for them, spotted over on the hillside a flock of sheep. I don't know how many hundred, but it was a big one. And I said to the guide, I said, is that one flock or several? Oh, he said, I imagine that would be at least three, maybe five. And they're all grazing together. They don't have any fences. And I said, but then when the evening comes, how would they divide them up? How would they get the sheep? And to me, all sheep look alike. He said, one shepherd will walk out there near the, and will raise his voice. And somehow, whatever he's taught those sheep, raise his voice, and every one of his sheep will come to him. Another shepherd will step out there and raise his voice, and every one of his sheep will come to him. And they do that until they've separated them all. That's what Jesus said. I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. And he said, that's the way they separate them. And that's amazing, because sheep has to be cared for, and they cannot care for themselves. And so he said, but the shepherds take care of them. They lead them. They find the water they have to have. They find the grass where they can eat. They find the place at night to take care of them. The shepherds know that. Now notice he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice what he says. Though I walk, David says, when I think about how God is my shepherd, how I was related to those sheep and those sheep responded to me, and I think of God being my shepherd, he leadeth me, and I will walk through the valley. I will not run in a hurry. I will not run in scared. I will walk through this valley, and I'll walk through it, because I'll come out on the other side, because God leads me. God's promises. But he doesn't promise that there won't be evil. He promises that we will be absent of fear. We don't have to fear that. So that's what he promises. Absence of fear. Romans 8:38 says, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Isn't that amazing? All things. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow to any one of us individually, but the Bible says all things work together for the good, not the good for everybody, but for the good to those that love the Lord. For good to those that love the Lord. And I've cherished that passage all through life. When I was 18 years old, all through high school, wanted to go to Nashville, Tennessee. Wanted to sing on the Grand Ole Opry. Wanted to still play my guitar and sing. But I had a head-on collision one day on July the 3rd, right in front of the deputy sheriff's house that I was good friends with, who we kept the cow, and I was there twice a day milking the cow, and he was a good friend, and had a head-on collision. He didn't know my car. I just bought it 9 days earlier. So when he got to the wreck, my car was on fire. He pulled me out, covered me up, and a neighbor walked over from the house I just passed and said, who is this, Lester? He said, I don't know, but he's dead. So she bent down and pulled the cover back off my face, and she said, this is Wendell, and he's not dead. But I didn't move. I didn't move, turn over, set up from July the 11th to November the 7th. And I thought, why is all this? And then by the time I got through all of that and met Helen's, well, we were already dating, but met Helen's preacher, Ivan Oder, then he began to change my thinking, and I got in the ministry. And so all things work together for good. They're not good. He didn't say they were good, but all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And David knew that because of what he'd done with his sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He knew what his rod and his staff was. They comfort me. Shepherds had that to protect the sheep. If you ever see one in a picture that has a crook on one end, and they tried to have it. Not all had it. They tried to have it because little lambs had a way of stumbling into little crevices and stuff, and so that crook helped them out. And even if they were just trying to separate the sheep, that crook helped. But David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You remember when David was still a shepherd and his father called him in and said, "Here's some food. I want you to take them to your brothers. They're fighting the Philistines." And so David had to make a several-day trip up to the brothers to take them that food. And when he got up there, there was that giant Goliath who was coming out and challenging. He said, "Don't let us all fight. Just somebody come out and fight me. And if they win, we're yours. And if we win, you're ours," and blah, blah, blah. And nobody would do that. And days had gone by. And David says, "I'll go out there. I can do that." And the king said, you can't do that. You're just a boy, really a teenager." And David said, "Let me tell you something. I keep my father's flock. And one day a bear came in and tried to destroy some of the sheep, and I killed that bear." And then he said, "Another day a lion came in and tried to steal my sheep, and I killed that lion." Now Goliath is no different. And he went out there, and you know the story. And now David is picturing this as his, relating this to his days as a shepherd, and he says, "I shall not want for comfort, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for material blessings. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Look at that. Thou preparest a table. David knew what it was to find a good grass for his sheep and lead them there. They didn't know how to go, but he would lead them there. He knew by the way, sheep won't drink in swift water. They won't drink in rough water. They won't drink in swift running water. You have to find a place that is calm. And he knew that, and he found that. And then he found a place for them to graze. And they had to be on the lookout for that constantly. And sometimes, even today over there, they can find a way that for days they can go to the same place and let them graze, because then other days they have to really go out and search. But even in the presence, David says, even in the presence of my enemy, he prepares a table before me. God prepares a table before me right in the presence of my enemies. Now, who's he talking about? His enemies. Well, I don't think he's talking about Goliath. I think he's talking about generally, as the Bible has put this in our Bible, he's talking about the enemies that we all face daily. Fear, frustrations, anxieties, loneliness, and on and on and on. Those can become the enemies that will fight us spiritually. And so right in the middle of that, God prepares for us and helps us and blesses us in a very special way because we're his children. So good this morning as I walked in, Helen and I got in, seeing people coming in and hugging and shaking hands and talking, and because this really is, that's wonderful in God's family. We're God's family. We're God's family. We're his children. He told us what day to meet, and so here we are. He told us why to meet, so here we are. And so it's good for the family. When the family gets together, it's good to share these things. And David says, right in the presence of my enemies, even though they may be all around me, he prepares the table of spiritual stuff for me. I shall not want for divine honor. Thou anointest my head with oil. Wow. Oil was used, first of all, when we read in the Bible, oil was used to anoint somebody, to set them aside spiritually. He's anointed, kings were anointed by oil. That was just a figure, that king was anointed by oil. So David says, he anoints my head with oil. But there's another thing that David knew. oil was not just used for setting aside, making things special. With his sheep, he had to anoint their, and I didn't know this until I went to Israel several times, and one time over there studying, that one that they said the sheep has to, heads have to be anointed because there is a bug that will, especially little lambs, that will get in the ears of the little lamb. If you do not put this oil on their head, that bug will get in their ears and drive them crazy until they just run into valleys and they run into ravines and kill themselves. And so they have to watch for that time of year when those little bugs come around, and they have to anoint this oil, those sheep's head with oil, and sometimes it anoints all of them. And so that took on more meaning when I learned that. Thou anointest my head with oil. And the figure is to help the enemy, to keep me from being so frustrated. And so he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness supplies our needs. Mercy pardons our sins. And only God can do both. And he says, I shall not want for a home at the end of the way, because look what the light says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. I don't know when he wrote this, but at nighttime they had to find a safe shelter for sheep. You couldn't always keep sheep just out here in a field at night. They had to find a shelter, because that's when the wild animals would come in and start carrying away the sheep, killing them. So they tried to find a safe shelter for the sheep. One of our trips to Israel, we become friends with the mayor of Bethlehem. And one time he said, hey, why don't you come out here at night and let us take you back into the fields of Ruth and Boaz and show you some of these places that you've studied about all your life. And I said, well, we're not allowed to if you're in Israel, you're not allowed to tour at night. That's against the law. He said, I'm the mayor of Bethlehem, and I'm going to take you out there. So we did. Our whole group went out there. It was June. But we didn't know this, but just beyond the city limits of where we were these little caverns, little overhangings, little cave-like things. Some of them maybe as big as this room, some of them half as big. But that's where they bring the sheep in at night, out of pasture to keep them. And he said, now, this is where we keep our, this is where they sheltered their animals. And we, in English, we call it stables. And Jesus was born in one of these. We don't know which one. But he was born in one of these. And by the way, we stood out there at night in June and we sang Christmas carols. We sang Away Bethlehem, Away in the, and it was just a chilling effect. But the point is, the sheep have to have a shelter. They can't just leave them out there and expect them to lie down in the green pastures with no fencing. And so they would find these shelters. And sometimes a shepherd would lay across the front of an opening, or several of them would bring their flocks together if the room was big enough or the cavern was big enough, and several of them would lay across that opening. So he said, I shall not want. For this is the end, because I'm going to dwell, when I'm through here, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I ask you this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? If so, we can allow him to lead us. We can allow him to lead us. Because Paul says in Philippians, my God shall meet all of your needs in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all of your needs in Christ Jesus. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. At the end, he'll protect us. He is our shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this passage. It's familiar, but taking a look like David did, that it is, he was a shepherd and he knew his responsibilities and he knew the relationship to those sheep. And then he began to think of how you were the shepherd, especially Jesus, who Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and the sheep know my voice. Father, that's sure taken on meaning for us as we study these sheep. So, Father, if there's one here this morning that is not a part of the flock, Jesus is not their shepherd. As we sing this song, Father, we pray that they would come and accept Jesus as their shepherd. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 378 has been announced. 378, let's stand and sing them together.
Thank you.